Our message is entitled Jesus Lives, taken from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 8. The scene that is before us is a very tragic scene of death, of silence, of pain that precedes death, of sorrow, of misery. It is the sad end of mankind. It was in the cemetery that our text was written. And it is in this place of hopelessness, and it was in that place of unrest, it was in that place of dejection, loss, it was in that place where men feel his ultimate inadequacy in living life, that forms the backdrop of our text this morning. Jesus, the Son of God, the man who had done many miracles to save many who are sick, even to raise the dead, himself is dead. And he has been dead for 3 days. And his disciples, especially the women folk, they were so sad because their master had been so good to them, especially the lady that was described here in our text, Mary Magdalene. She had been saved much because she had suffered much. She had had 7 devils that was possessing her, that was causing her to have great misery in her life. Life was totally perpetual sadness, as it were, no light at the end of the tunnel, until Jesus came to her, and by a command, the evil spirits came out of her, and then she began to live life again, and she began to live that happy life when she was freed from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of evil. And there she lived with her Savior, daily following him, until Jesus was sentenced in a very unjust way through the leaders of Israel, through the Roman council, by the hand of Pilate, was crucified, consigned to the cross. And we are here this morning in verse 1 of our text with Mary there at the sepulchre. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. She was very surprised when she came. She was the first one. You noticed how there was a group of women folk that were so devoted to the Lord. They were so close to the Lord that they came very early in the morning in order to bring spices to the Lord, to remember the Lord's love for them. And they came weeping in their hearts, longing, because the loss was so great in their heart. The loss was so real to them that they could not just lie in bed and sleep. They could not just lie in bed and think that their Savior, their Master, is lying there alone in the grave. So sad, isn't it? To know of a departed loved one. And so early in the morning, they were awake and they prepared themselves to go to the sepulchre. And to her surprise, she saw that the stone was rolled away. Something had happened. at that time, and not knowing what happened, she realized that something is amiss. The tombstone, the grave, was it some robbers? What has happened to the grave of our master? And I, being a woman folk, so weak, what can I do against the raiders? And so she ran to seek help. Verse 2 tells us she ran and come to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the writer, beloved of the Lord, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. We know not where they have laid him." And she was so sad, she could only, in her, all her weakness, move as fast as she could to convey that emergency of distress, that the tomb perhaps had been invaded, ransacked, for them to come. And so Peter ran, and they came. And it's so interesting that the Lord wants to bring for us, and we have placed it in your weekly this morning, how John, this testimony is a written testimony of how John realized in his own heart that Jesus had risen from the dead. And he has written this testimony in order to comfort our hearts. If you have a loved one that has gone home to with the Lord, you have a loved one that is suffering because of illness, because of pain, well, the Lord says to us that there is comfort because there is hope at the end of the journey, that there is a resurrection after death, that because Jesus has risen from the dead, there is hope over man's greatest impasse. All the conflicts, all the distresses of human life, there is a way out. And John is giving us this testimony. It is in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the resurrection and the life. And he was the one that rose again from the dead. And the Lord wants us to understand and see. And it's very interesting that John is going to write this testimony very, very carefully in order to help us to know and understand. And verse 5 of our text tells us that both of them ran. Both of them ran to the tomb, Peter and John. And John was there. And then verse 5, it was written that Peter, coming from behind, overpassed him, and he stooped down and he looked, and he saw, verse 5 of our text says, the linen clothes lying, yet when he not in. That's verse 5 of our text. And what we see here is a sight that was given. All right, when John saw, and he says, "I took a single look. Well, my eyes showed me that the linen clothes in the tomb where the body of the Lord laid, where is it?" Well, he saw that it was there, but the body was missing. The linen clothes were there, as it were, for a dead body to be wrapped in. But somehow, the body is missing. And so he says, I saw that the body was missing. And and then verse 6 tells us, Simon Peter came and gave a closer look. Verse 6 says, Simon Peter, following him, went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie. And this word "see" is a different word from the word we saw earlier. That one was a physical look, but this one, theoreo, is another word that describes a look with care, a look with a discerning mind, a look with an eye to detail, a look with an eye to examine the evidence that is before him, a look in order to see carefully and try in his mind what is before him. And Peter says that what he saw there was the linen clothes lying as if it was holding a body, but the body is missing. How could it be? It was a great phenomena for the body to simply get out of the linen clothes with all the linen clothes intact. So this is what he wants to tell us, right? He examined the tomb. He went in to see what was there. And indeed, he tells us that, wow, the body was missing and the clothes intact. And this is what the Lord wants us to think and consider, the witness of these two men. The Bible tells us, in the witness of two or three, a matter is proven or a matter is confirmed. Peter and John were the two witnesses that were there, who has examined what happened. And contrary to the words of the Jewish rumor, right, that someone came and stole the body away, right, it was not the case. And they saw, they examined the evidence, and they saw the undisturbed clothes with the missing body. And then verse 8 says, and then went in also the other disciple that came first to the sepulchre, that is Peter, and he saw, or that's John, and he saw and he believed. Now this is another word, see, that is given there, a third word to describe a different sight. This is to perceive with understanding, to perceive with a faith that God gives to us, to understand the resurrection. You see, when Jesus rose from the dead, he did not appear to any of the unbelievers. Jesus appeared only to those who believed. Jesus' power was manifestly available to all his children, those who trusted him, those who believed in him. And therefore, the Lord wants us to take hold of the truth and help us to see that the Lord Jesus Christ indeed was not there. And so they came, John came to this moment of conviction. Do you have a conviction in the heart that Jesus rose again from the dead? If you have this conviction in your heart, then every time you see your loved ones who is in the Lord suffering in pain, you will be comforted to know that the Lord is with him. The Lord is with her. The Lord is able to help. And ultimately, when man sees his final journey, when death would come, you know that there is a victory, there is a comfort, because man is going to rise again from the dead at the day of consummation. Do you have this conviction? Well, this was the conviction that John had. This was the conviction that God brought to the heart of John at that time. He said that he saw and he believed. And verse 9 of our text tells us that they have not yet known what the Old Testament scriptures has prophesied, that indeed Jesus Christ would rise from the dead. You see, all the prophecies that were given in the Old Testament were pointing to the finished work of the Messiah and his rising. But albeit, you'll find that all the information is scattered here and there. And so that, you see, at the end, when the resurrection would come, the victory would come, you'll find that Satan and the world would be dumbfounded. it would catch everybody by surprise. Nobody would have thought about it, that this was the way by which victory is going to be gained. Hopelessness is going to be replaced by hope. Grace is going to be replaced by works, or works is going to be replaced by grace. God is going to, by His mercy, enact a work of salvation so great, so wonderful, so precious, that it would be beyond the comprehension of this world's wisdom. And this was what happened during the day of the resurrection. John and Peter examined the evidence, and they came to a conviction, they came to a conclusion. That's why you see the life of John and Peter were different. They were vested with great power because of the conviction that God gave to their heart. There was a conviction. There was a power inside them to move. Why? Because the Holy Spirit that is inside them, and the willingness of the flesh, of the heart, of the spirit, to yield to the purpose of God, that made their life so impactful. And this resurrection life, the Lord tells us, we all must have. This resurrection life, the Lord tells us, we all must possess. We must come to that conviction. And how can we do so? Well, by examining the scriptures, by examining what the Word of God tells us. The witness of the truth of the scripture. See for yourself. Study for yourself. Examine for yourself. Scrutinize for yourself. You know that the Word of God is, as it were, written, and it stands written. In other words, you can take your time to study it thoroughly inside out. You can take your time to examine it and to come and form your conclusion. And the Lord wants us not to leave this worship service without a conviction. The Lord wants us to leave this service with a conviction that Jesus indeed has risen from the dead. And if He has risen from the dead, and this power that is in us is true, then He expects us to be His witnesses. He expects us to have the boldness and courage to persevere, to follow Him, to persevere, to serve Him, to persevere, to walk with Him. Despite all the hardship, despite all the troubles, despite all the resistance, the opposition, the persecution, the Lord says to us that Jesus has risen from the dead. And Peter has written it out in order to show us this testimony, this moment of truth that dawned upon John's heart. Has it dawned upon your heart? I pray that it will dawn upon your heart, to give to your heart such a strong conviction that you would never leave the Lord, that you would be so touched by the power of the resurrection that you would be willing to consecrate your life to Him. Hallelujah. John believed. This is the testimony of Scripture. By two witnesses, John and Peter. This witness tells us that death has lost its sting. And that is why the scene of John 20 is founded in the graveyard, in the house of mourning, in a time when it is darkest for the human soul, When you see a loved one departing and you have to be there, the living, mourning for the dead, you know that that separation, physically speaking, is painful. And it's very jarring because it tears us away so, without any possibility, as it were, for any reconciliation. The body lays dead, breathless. The body lays dead, helpless, decomposing. And yet, the Lord tells us that there is a resurrection. And the Lord wants us to take hold of the scriptures to know that there is a resurrection. That our life must be lived in the light of the resurrection. Otherwise, all our accomplishment, all that we would achieve in this world, would have come to nothing. But we realize that we cannot bring anything out. When we die, everything is left behind. It's as it were only our soul God will require. And so the Lord asks us this question: what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What are you doing for the Lord? What are you doing with your life, with your resources, with your time? Well, the Lord is saying to us that if Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and you have a world that is dying, the world that is perishing, then what is it that you cannot give in order to send this message of hope to a dying world? Do we understand what the Lord is saying to us here? Do we truly understand? The Lord wants us to understand. And then He wants us to be arisen out of our stupor, out of our sleepiness, out of our drunkenness, out of our distraction, to be attracted to the resurrected Christ, so that we may understand the purpose by which life is given to us. That life is given so that there will be the hope of eternity. You see, dear friends, what is valuable must be eternal. What is valuable must be eternal. If your value tested with the things that you have, anything that is not eternal, but you realize that it's temporal and it will perish and you will lose it. But strive and look for the things that will be eternal, and then you will not be disappointed. I say to you, you will not be disappointed. At the end of the day, you will not be disappointed. You hear that? You will not be disappointed. The Lord doesn't want you to be disappointed. Because at the end of life, when you sit there in the deathbed and you sign a sign of disappointment, I should have used my time like that. I should have used my resources like that. I should have used my life like that. Let it not be a regret. But the resurrection life at the scene of the tomb tells us what we ought to do, what we must do. And if you have come to a conviction like Peter and John, then you will see that their life was lived burning out for the Lord. They understood the value of the resurrection. They understood the value of the eternal soul, the value of their soul and the soul of the people around them. And therefore the Lord says to us this morning, and lovingly gives that message, indeed, that Christ has risen from the dead. And Mary, later on, you see, was still weeping, still very sad. Although John and Peter had seen the evidence, right? Then God sent two angels to comfort Mary. You see, the angels come very, very surprisingly. Angels would come when the time when you are most miserable and most difficult. The angels would come to minister comfort. When Jesus was in Gethsemane, the angels came to minister comfort. They are ministering to Mary while she was weeping. And they said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And she said, "Because they have taken the Lord away." And she turned herself back and saw. What did she see? Not only did the angels, were the angels there to comfort her heart, because she loved the Lord, you see. You see how much she loved the Lord. She wept. She wept. She was following the Lord with a genuine heart. That's why she wept so much. And then Jesus appeared to her. She was the first person Jesus appeared to. You know that if you have a genuine seeking heart with the Lord will be present for you. The Lord will be present to speak to you, to guide you, to lead you, to show you the way, the resurrected Christ. Jesus saith, and verse 15 of our text, Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" And she, supposing him to be a gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus saith unto her, "Mary!" Wow! Mary! That familiar voice! She suddenly understood. It clicked. That's the Lord! And she said to him, "Master, it's you." She was weeping so much, probably the tears were all over her face, and you know, her vision could have been just blurred, could not see clearly. And so I believe, well, she had to, after hearing, now probably rub her eyes and say, "Hey, it's the Master. Yes, it's him. Wow, how could it be? Well, he has risen from the dead." From the evidence of the empty tomb to the presence of the Lord with his people. Dear friends, do you need more evidence? Well, the Lord himself has appeared to his people, and he has written, right, through the words of John to let us know that Jesus is alive. Jesus says, "Touch me not, for I am yet ascended unto my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Well, Jesus shared a kindred spirit with us, because he's not only fully God, but he is fully man. He's like one of us. He calls us brethren. In other words, he calls us friend. He's someone who is with us to suckle us, to comfort us in the most difficult times of our life. No man may be able to comfort you, but we have a friend in our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the greatest comfort. If you have him, then you are surely comforted through the Spirit that is in you. May you be comforted. May the Lord strengthen your heart. "I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Wow, what kindred spirit the Lord speaks to us, that we have indeed a Savior that we can all go to for help, that our sorrows can be uplifted. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that she had spoken these things. Mary Magdalene came and she says that she has seen the Lord. What a great testimony of faith, of love, of conviction. The Lord wants us to have that kind of a conviction in life. I thank the Lord that you have managed to wake up early and come together so that we could all read this text to know that we have a living Savior, that there is hope for each one of us in the Lord Jesus Christ. In this world, there is no other hope but hope in the resurrected Lord, in Jesus Christ. That is our true hope. And I thank the Lord that He has allowed us to be gathered in order that we may praise our Savior and friend, that He is indeed with us, living and able to help us. And let us be comforted, and let us be strengthened. Let us know that we are weak, but He is strong. He has overcome all things for us, and therefore we can look to Him and be comforted and strengthened for life. May the Lord use you to be a witness for Him this day and the rest of this resurrected year. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Your mercy in showing us Your word. Indeed, Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And because He has risen, we have also, by Him, consigned to death and resurrected to everlasting life. Lord, thank Thee for faith that You have given to Your people. Faith to believe this message, and faith to know that we have eternal life. And therefore our perspective would be so hopeful, and that we have that strength within us to comfort the people around us by the message of the resurrection. That we are able to comfort one another, because the day is coming when our risen Lord ascended to the right hand of the Father, we also return in the consummation to raise the dead in Christ, and we which are alive will be caught up in the air to be ever with the Lord. Lord, may Thou come quickly, and we know that Your return draweth nigh. It is even at the doors, and therefore, Lord, You may help Your people, that we may be not weak, but we may be strengthened by Your Spirit, by the resurrection power and life, like the disciples of old, to witness a good confession for Thee during this last of the last days. Lord, help us to serve Thee, for a time coming when we can serve Thee no more. So Lord, strengthen our hearts, bless Your presence, bless us with Your presence and the presence of Your resurrection, the truth of Your resurrection, that we indeed may have a full portion of Your peace and joy in our hearts this day and every day. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.